Okay, hi, I'm Heather. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I got into prostitution at age 11. I was kind of forced into prostitution at 11, manipulated, and I was abducted by a pimp. I've been out now 10 years out of prostitution. We're out riding around showing where the girls are and what they go through on a daily basis.
From the inside of a minivan, Heather K scans the sidewalks and unlit corners of the Tamiami Trail in Bradenton, looking for women and girls. You couldn't tell by her dress or jovial disposition, but Heather estimates she's been arrested about 300 times for prostitution. But now, Heather volunteers for Sail Off Freedom, a nonprofit that scours the neighborhood and connects prostituted women with clothing and safe housing. This section of the trail is a known prostitution area. It's where Heather turned her first trick. It doesn't take long for her to spot a woman standing feebly under a stop sign.
I'm good. How are you, babe? Right? It's just us girls. Not looking for your pretty self.
No, you're lying.
No, I'm not.
Why? What are you girls up to?
Nothing.
I'm very flattered. Thank you.
You're so pretty.
Really, really?
I seen you smiling. I was like,
I know. You have
I just want
to
share.
Face.
I just want to share something with you. I used to be out here.
Really?
Okay, thank you. I'm almost done.
The woman says she's out here making money for her boyfriend. Her boyfriend, Heather knows, is actually her pimp. To anyone else, the woman appears to be what law enforcement dubs a streetwalker, another word for a common prostitute. But Heather, like most survivors, sees her as a victim of immense sexual, physical, and mental abuse, which often began in childhood.
Turn down this street up here to the right. This is a really prostitution area. The trick traffic was running through here constantly. When I was underage, I walked back here a lot. Yeah.
Hours later, Heather spots a young girl sitting on the curb of a closed-down Quick Stop. She appears 15 and is wearing a white skirt and pink shirt. The girl's pimp rides his bike and circles around her. Heather's minivan stops, and the girl walks toward Heather. Worried she will scare the girl away, Heather quickly hides her microphone in her lap.
My number, I'm Heather. And you're so precious. And you have so much value, and you don't have to. And if you call that number, if you're ready...
The girl walks away. Moments later, an SUV stops next to the girl, the brake lights illuminating the transaction. The girl enters.
I just knew I had to survive. And that's what a lot of these girls, they're doing it to survive. They're not doing it because they want to. In their brain, they're brainwashed thinking they want to, but deep down in their heart, they don't want to be out here selling their bodies. And people who have no idea what these girls go through on a daily basis, well, they think they want to be out there. Let them stay out there. You know, these girls don't choose to be out here. Circumstances and life and evilness has them out here.
Until the last couple years, the stories of people like Heather fell mostly on deaf ears in Tallahassee. But after 3 years of debate, lawmakers passed the Safe Harbor Law, which went into effect at the beginning of 2013. Safe Harbor took the first step toward treating children found in prostitution not as criminals, but victims. Trudy Novicki is the director of Christie House, a child advocacy center in Miami.
We were working with a lot of these kids already, but we just hadn't identified them and we weren't asking the right questions.
Novicki is the author of the Safe Harbor Law, but even she says it doesn't do enough to protect victims because it didn't lay out a clear enough plan to fund and staff safe houses. The law also does little to ensure victims end up in a home with mental health counselors instead of a jail. Sometimes, she says, jail is the only option for police agencies who have nowhere else to take a girl who is being prostituted. Currently, there are only 12 beds designated specifically for victims of sex trafficking in the entire state. State House Representative Eric Fresen of Miami is one of the lawmakers who hopes to fix that.
Not all victims are created equally, for lack of a better term. There are different stages of trauma that they've gone through, depending on how long they've been trafficked, depending on what the origin of their trafficking was, whether or not they were actually, you know, immigrants and that were trafficked in that sense, or whether they were runaways to begin with, whether they were in the foster system prior to being trafficked. So, you know, all those circumstances are different.
Many of the details are still being worked out, like which facilities or foster homes can be licensed to care for trafficking victims. Another wrinkle is the bill's mandate for secure facilities where children are essentially locked in to keep them from running away and to keep out drugs and pimps. Some advocates say locking children down will do more harm than good, but state officials say there needs to be some measure in place to protect traumatized kids from perpetrators and themselves. I'm David McSwain with the Sarasota Herald Tribune.